Well, good morning, Bridge City Church, Murraysville campus. I'm Pastor Eric. So glad you joined us today so far. I just want to stay in worship the rest of the day, and that was just so rich and so good. So thank you, worship team, for that. Something that worship, I think, does, it puts us in a different frame of mind, right, where our focus is not about ourselves, but it's on God now. And we have to shift our focus to God when we are truly in worship and with Him. Today we're going to be jumping into continuing our First Things First series. And so far this year, and how many of you have been enjoying the series so far this year? For those of you who've been coming, we wanted to start off 2023 putting first things first. We start off with repentance, being the first ones to repent, being the first ones to pray, being the first ones to forgive. And today we're going to be looking at being first to be humble, to put humility first. And really Jesus being the prime example of what it means to be humble. How many of you know we could use more humility in our world, right? Or somebody you live with could be a little more humble, right? Or maybe our politicians. I don't want to go there. You know, there's a lot of things that we need when you look at the world and say, man, if we could just be humble. I don't think that's something we typically go to right away as a solution to a lot of our problems. If we chose humility first, what would our lives look like? What would it look like if we went to humility first rather than pride, rather than self-righteousness, rather than look at me, but we looked at how to be humble? Well, you know, humility is one of those things that who wants to be first in being humble, right? Who here is the most humble? If you raise your hand, I'm glad nobody raised their hands, those listening online, just for the record. You know, when you say, I'm the most humble, or I'm really good at being humble, you're probably deceived. Maybe, what's your definition of humble? But humble is something that we get to choose to be, and we got to choose to put that first, especially in our relationships with others, in our family, in our workplace, and everywhere we go. But so much of our culture today is all about protect yourself, defend yourself, put yourself above others, right? The economy of the world is the greatest is the one who has the most and does the most, and doesn't matter if you got to push other people down, you want to be the greatest in the world. But the kingdom of God is the exact opposite. Jesus says the greatest in the kingdom are those who come to serve, the least of these. That's who we get. We get to give our lives away as followers of Jesus. And you know, we shouldn't allow people to put us down and hold us down, but it's not being a doormat for everyone to walk on, but there's safety, there's boundaries we can do, but the idea is choosing to be humble first, and it's not just an event, but a lifestyle. Humility is something that every healthy relationship requires. How many of you want to have healthy relationships? Deep, meaningful, healthy relationships, it's going to take humility. Well, maintaining healthy relationships requires these three aspects. Attribute, which is an attribute that Jesus had, it comes from Jesus, an attitude that we need to have and to hold just like Jesus did, and then the third thing is to take action. We can't just say we're humble if our actions don't demonstrate that. Our humility should be demonstrated to others and for others to see in us. We all long for deep connections and relationships, and humility is one of the keys, not the only thing, but one of the things that gets us there. And it doesn't matter if you're in marriage, or you're not married, or you're in a group of people. How many of you love group projects at work? I never enjoyed group projects in school. I'm like, no, I can just do it all on my own. But the reality is, we are better together. We're better when we work with one another. There's ideas and creativity. And the whole goal of this is so that we would have unity. Unity, especially within the church, is something that's so vital because where there's unity, Psalm 133 says, God commands a blessing. I want God's blessing. Anybody else? If we want God's blessing, not only is it coming, He's going to command a blessing when we have unity. Well, unity comes when we're walking in humility. So I'm showing you a progression of humility is one of the most essential things that characterizes true Christianity. Jonathan Edwards, a quote from him, we must view it as one of the most essential things. Christianity is one that a lot of religions, especially Eastern religions, is it's all about me and what I can do, and I got to be better than the next person. Christianity is the opposite of, well, no, we have to be humble as Christians, to follow the example of Jesus in walking out humility. Another quote from Jonathan Edwards, nothing sets a Christian so much out of the devil's reach than humility. You know where the devil's going to attack? Is where there's pride, where there's self, I don't need anybody else. And what happens is you get away from the herd. When an animal gets away from the rest, they're more vulnerable for attack. They're in a dangerous place. But when we're all together, there's safety together. There's a unity together. Not only just protect from the devil, but then we can actually go and do something great for God when we work together. But it starts with having humility that results in unity, that results in being able to advance the kingdom of God. So before we jump into our text, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2. We're going to get through the first 8 verses of that chapter. But before we do, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we get to come together to worship you, to hear your word. God, I pray we'd all grab a hold of this attribute, this attitude, the actions of humility that you demonstrated so well for each one of us. Lord, I pray your spirit would speak to each and every person here. God, that would be your words, not my own. Your heart, God, that would penetrate ours. Make us more like you and less like ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Philippians, just to give a little context here, the Apostle Paul, he's writing a letter to the church in Philippi. And he's going through different things. Most likely, he's writing this from Rome or a place where he's on house arrest. He's awaiting for trial to go before Caesar. And we know he eventually goes on to be killed. And this letter he's writing, it wasn't originally written in chapters and verses, but it's written as a letter. So Paul wrote this letter out, these 4 chapters. He would have wrote it as a letter to the church in Philippi. Well, chapter 2 is just a continuation of the letter. And he's talking in chapter 1 about how to live as citizens of heaven. He's sharing these things about how we should live different than the world, but as a citizen of heaven, as a follower of Jesus, as a believer, as a Christian, whatever label we want to put on, we're following Jesus. We should live differently. And there's a set of standards that we live by that are different than the rest of the world. And he shares about the privilege it is to know Christ and also the privilege of suffering. Nobody ever cheers there, right? But there's the joy that he's speaking of. Right in the chapter right before, the last sentence, he says, there's a joy in suffering. And obviously, Paul's writing from an imprisonment, so he can speak to it the most. But then he starts in chapter 2, verse 1. So is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Like, look at all the problems in the world. Look at all the struggles. Like, man, you got a lot of pain in your life and grief and challenge and struggle. But isn't there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? And he's asking these rhetorical questions. Like, of course there is. Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? If the answer to those is yes, which they are, as a believer of Jesus, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and one purpose. One mind and purpose. That's agreeing wholeheartedly together is where we get to see the blessings from God. We get to see and experience the comfort from his love. There's all these other things that are saying, this is where you can get comfort. This is where you can get that fix you need. This is where you can find this temporary rest or whatever that may be. And the reality is, he's saying, it's in Christ and Christ alone that we get this. It's the only true satisfaction is being one with Christ, knowing him, living for him, serving him, reading his word. That's where the true comfort comes from God. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He's going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, if we know to turn to him. Instead of turning to alcohol or TV or whatever it is, not to put one above the other, it's just all those things are going to give you a temporary fix where the real fix, the permanent solution, is found in Christ alone. He says they agreed wholeheartedly with each other. They loved one another, working together because they belonged to Christ. Belonging to Christ is something happening on the inside. It's not just church membership. Whether you're a member of the church or not, it doesn't matter. You can belong to Christ. It's not just an outward thing that we do. It's something that happens on the inside of us. Verse 3, he continues, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. This is an attribute of Jesus, this virtue that we aspire to be like him, right? We want to be more like Jesus and less like ourselves. Well, how do we do it? He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. What is social media all about? Trying to impress others. It's not that that's bad, but man, if your heart is just trying to impress others, it is bad. It's the wrong heart behind it, rather than thinking of others as better than myself. See, humility isn't thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. And rather, it's to think about others first, to put others' needs above your own. Imagine what your life would look like, your relationships, if we put others first in our thoughts, in our actions, in our prayers, to put others and pick up others first. Humility comes from belonging to Christ. As humble, it's a lowliness, an inside-out virtue produced by comparing ourselves to the Lord. Have any of you ever done that? You're like, how am I doing against Jesus? Oh, yeah, not so. Usually, it always, for me, goes, oh, yeah, sorry, God. Like, you know, like, I'm better than them. I could do that better than that person. I got more than that. And then I say, well, Jesus, how am I doing with you? It always humbles me. Whenever we compare to somebody else, typically you go, you feel less about yourself because they think they look better than you, or you think you're better than them, so then it creates pride. Either way, it doesn't go well. Stop comparing yourselves to other people. We can learn from them. We can grow with one another. But stop comparing yourself with other people, especially the social media highlight reel, right? Instead, compare yourself with the Lord, because then we'll be obeying what he's saying. Humility comes from belonging to Christ, comparing ourselves to him rather than others. And what happens is it results in a complete dependence on the Lord, not a reliance on the flesh or in the natural. When we belong to Christ, when we belong to one another, we can settle problems between one another and have healthy relationships. Last week, we talked about forgiveness and the importance of forgiving first. Because why? Because Christ forgave me. That's our standard. And a little bit later in Philippians 4, further down the letter, he actually calls out two ladies. He says their names and said, why don't you guys settle the disagreement between you two? Think about it. Paul's writing this from hundreds of miles away. He's writing this letter saying, would you two just stop it? Right? Like, how bad would you feel if that was you? Like, hey, you, and everybody's reading the letter out loud. Like, hey, Rachel, I'm going to pick on my wife. Hey, Rachel, why don't you knock it off and get it together? You know, like, I would have been embarrassed all could be, right? That Paul, the Apostle Paul, he writes this letter and he calls us out. Man, how much more would you want? Okay, let's humble ourselves. Let's work this out. Let's settle this agreement. But I want to ask, how many of you since last Sunday to this Sunday, last Sunday was all about forgiveness and whether you choose to forgive somebody else, you've forgiven something that was done to you, maybe a parent, or you've just received the forgiveness from God. How many of you did something, you don't have to say what it is, but raise a hand, anybody, say, I walked out something from last week, couple people, thank you. See, the point of what we do on Sundays, and just maybe a new revelation to you, is we don't want to just dispense information. You can get good information on YouTube or somewhere else. You can get information. But what we want is we want to move you and help move you into being a disciple of Jesus. And that takes all of us working together with one mind, one purpose, moving in the same direction. And if we're not moving to action, we're really not acting like disciples of Jesus. Jesus says, go and make disciples. If we're not doing that, we're not obeying what Jesus has commanded us to do. So beyond the teaching, and this is encouraging throughout the entire year, this message and every other message is, don't just receive information, but say, God, what do you want me to do with this? And I'm going to give you some practical dew points at the end of the message to help us grow as followers of Jesus. So in a relationship, Jesus, I mean, he championed humility. We see how he spoke to his disciples, he spoke to people, how he loved people. You know, in a relationship, if one person is always getting their way, then that's a relationship leading to destruction. If you're in a relationship and one person's always getting their way, and maybe there's usually a pushing down or persuading of the other, that's not a healthy relationship. There should be a give and take. There should be we say in marriage, it's not a 50-50, it's 100-100, that both of us are committing 100% of ourselves to this. It's not, well, I'll meet you as long as you do your share. It's, I'm 100% committed to this. Rachel's 100% committed to our marriage, and it's a healthy relationship when we do that. When we put the other, it's not just the others first, but we are going to be the focus. It moves from a me to a we. It says Jesus emptied himself of all that he deserved. You were like, Jesus is God. He's in heaven, and he chooses to leave heaven to come to earth. He didn't have to do that on his own. Like, he could have chose something else, but that's the way he set it up and planned it. He deserves everything good. He deserves all the power. Even the devil tempted him, said, you can have all the kingdoms of the world, and you can run this thing with me. And Jesus says, no, no, no. That's not why I'm here. I'm going to humble myself and serve others so that we could benefit, for you and I can benefit. He says, take an interest in others, thinking of others better than yourself. Humility is a key to unity, and the results of humility and results of unity is that we do something great for God. How many of you want to make a difference in the world? Maybe just a difference in your world, the people you interact with, the people you have influence with. I want to make a difference in the world. I want to help make an impact in other people's lives. There's just so much anxiety and fear and depression and all this stuff we see about. Read the statistics. It's so sobering and scary of people committing suicide, of drug use, of just abuse and horrible things in the world. And yet, we're the ones to bring the joy and the hope of the world to them. Instead, we get so wrapped up in ourselves. I'm not just speaking to Christians. I think that's a problem in the world, is we're so self-focused rather than focusing on how we can help care for others, serve others, and love others. It's a quote from Ben Franklin: a man wrapped up in himself is a pretty small package. You know, I looked up some statistics in the area. There's about 300,000 people in Pittsburgh. There's 13 million people in Pennsylvania, 330 million in the United States, and 8 billion people in the world, roughly. We're getting there, you know, climbing to the population. And I think about, man, I want to make a difference in the world. Obviously, I would like to impact 8 billion people. But the reality is, I want to start with where I'm at, right? Before we go to, I want to change the world. Like, let's start with right where we are. If you have a spouse or you know somebody, which we all do, somebody you have a relationship with, you can help impact their world. And guess what? Just in the natural, you go from this small package to two people. So now you join a group. We're going to have group kickoffs next week. You can go to maybe 3 to 5 to 7 to 10 people that you get to be a part of. Then you go to, I'm going to serve on a team. I'm going to serve on the usher team, or I'm going to serve on a team in the church because I want to give of myself. The package just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Then we go to, hey, let's go impact the community. Let's be a part of the church. Let's be a part of the bigger church of Pittsburgh, which we have dozens of churches that we work with and gather together to share with one another. You get to be a part of something bigger than yourselves when you say yes to God, to humble ourselves and say, I'm not above serving my family, serving my church, serving. I want to be a part of what God is doing through the church. Whether it's Bridge City Church or another church, I'm going to encourage you to be a part and get involved. Give of yourself. If we're only wrapped up in ourselves, it's a pretty small package, a pretty small image of what God really wants for us. You know, when it comes to marriage, and this comes to pretty much any relationship, but especially marriage, I share this at pre-marriage counseling, when I'm counseling people before they get married, and I say every good marriage begins with a funeral. Because he starts with you dying to yourself. Every good, healthy relationship starts with you saying, I'm going to die to myself for the betterment of the whole, for the betterment of somebody else, to take interest in somebody else. It's not about what I want or what Rachel wants. It's now what's best for us. What is going to help us move forward? It's an attribute that comes from Jesus. So that second point, the attitude of Jesus, verse 5, says you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. The attitude, again, it's an inner perspective, an insight, shows itself in a corresponding outward behavior. It's not just what you say on the outside, but it's an attitude of the inside. It's a mindset that I need other people. Right? I tried living my life by myself for the first 25 years. It didn't go so well. Then I met Jesus, and I got connected to a church, and I realized it's so much better when you do life with other people. It's so much more enjoyable when you have real, face-to-face, healthy relationships within the church. Not just on a screen, not just in theory, but real relationships. You know what the truth of it is too? It's a lot harder to do that. It's a lot harder to have real relationships, sitting face to face with people, sharing your hurts, sharing your pain, sharing your struggles, listening to their struggles and loving people. It's a lot harder to do than just, I'm just going to do me and be myself, right? Arrogant says, I don't need you and I don't need anybody else. But if we want to be more like Jesus, we need one another to sharpen one another, to grow together. I mentioned it, but next Sunday, you see posters around the walls. You can look at them, they're very colorful. We're going to have our group kickoff next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're going to start groups the following week. So if there's a Tuesday group or Wednesday group or Thursday, whatever night or day of the week you're going to be a part of a group, you can find out and plan the following week to go to that group. They're also on our website. You can even scan the QR code on the screen. There's cards at Connection Point. We want you to get into a group. Why? Because it takes humility to get to unity, to get to let's do something great for God. It takes one another. And maybe you say, I don't need anything. I got everything I need from people. You're missing it. You're missing out on so much more that God has for you. To come for an hour and a half, typically is our group times on an evening from 7 to 8:30. I know there's daytime, there's Saturday morning. There's groups. Just get to a group and allow God to work in you what maybe you can't do on your own. I would say I guarantee you can't do on your own. God's going to do something through others, through one another. We grow together. And when groups come, maybe serving on a team is a way we grow. We have teams here and ways you can serve, ways you can give of yourself. Why? Because we want you to be more like Jesus. That's what this whole thing's about. I don't know if you caught that yet. Maybe you're new here, you're new to church, but everything we've done from the first note, the welcome outside, the parking your car, up to this point, all the way to the end, it's all for Jesus. Maybe you don't know of this Jesus. I hope you get a better picture of him throughout the day and you keep coming. You'll get to see why we do this, why we put on this whole thing, why we have worship and the message and we gather together on Monday through Saturday. It's all for Jesus. It's all because of what he did and what he's given us. And it's so much more joy-filled when you live with Jesus and live with one another than being by ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 28, it's actually the same words he used in Mark 10, 45. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus humbled himself. He could have come and said, I'm the king, I'm in charge, I got the power and authority, you all bow to me and I'm going to rule you. He could have done that. And it would have been okay. We would have been like, you're God, like, why would I argue with that? But Jesus instead chose to give us a better example, not to power over people, but he says, I'm going to come to serve you. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He served the people who were by all accounts, less than, they're only human where he is God. And he came and he died for them. Who did Jesus die for? You realize the liar, the fraud, the thief, the murderer, the immoral. He came and died for them. And them is you and me. He died for us. Whatever one of those things you fit, we all fit something that he came and died for us. He is the example of humility. Shouldn't we measure ourselves the same way? Compared to him. Matthew 23, verse 11, he said, Jesus again, to illustrate his point further, the greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves, those who lift themselves up, will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That word servants, where we get the word diaconate from, or diakonos, and he says, those who advance others' interests, even at the sacrifice of their own. Servants sacrifice for others. Jesus sacrificed for us. He is the ultimate sacrifice. How much more should we be looking to lay our lives down in service to him? To be exalted. To be exalted is to put your lift up. And the wording here is actually about how if we humble ourselves, we get a lowly place. We take a place of I'm a servant. God exalts. God lifts up. But if we lift ourselves up and puff our chest out and look at me, look at me, God's going to humble us. I've experienced both sides of it. And I try to stay in the lowly, humble. God, I want you to lift me up. I want you to exalt me. It's so much better than him humbling us. Having the same attitude that Jesus had. He said he emptied himself of the divine privileges so that he could be filled up with us. He's full of love and compassion and care for us. See, being a Christian isn't just emptying yourself of all your stuff and being empty. It's rather being full of Christ. Being filled up with Him, filled up with the Spirit of God, then we can truly have life and life abundantly. But again, it takes an us, a we factor. 1 Peter 5, just a little jaunt over, and we'll get back to Philippians 2. In the same way, Peter's instructing them. He says, "You who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor." Verse 6. And it's a lifting up. That's where God lifts us up. But what's it say? Verse 5. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He gives us the ability when we humble ourselves and submit to the authority of the elders, to the people older than us, the elders of the church as well. When we're under a submission and under authority, there's a great blessing that comes from that. It says God opposes the proud, vehemently. He opposes and stands against them, very much so. The humble is the lowly, and when we humble ourselves, there's true worth there. He instructs them to dress yourself, to put on humility. It's like tying a robe around you in a knot, that you can put it on you, that people see humility on you, but not for the reason that they say, "Hey, you're so humble," right? Because that leads to pride. And there's always this tension between pride and humility. We must choose to stay humble and allow God to lift us up. So maintaining healthy relationships requires an attribute that comes from Jesus, an attitude that Jesus had, and then some action steps that we can take. And I say all this to say, you know, a lot of times humility feels abstract, like it's just this theory, like be humble. It's like, oh, okay, like I'm not sure how to do that. But there's really practical ways that if you put that next slide up, that humility feels abstract, but is very concrete. There's specific action steps we can take that are very intentional. We can choose to walk these things out. And a lot of times it is a little abstract of, hey, I want to listen more than I speak. I want to hear more than I'm heard. Or I want to die to myself so that others can see Christ in me. But then there's four practical points I want to give you. Action steps to humility. First one here is be curious. Ask questions. Be curious about what's happening in other people's lives, to take interest in other people. You know, to learn what's going on in other people's lives before we jump in and share. Then believe the best. Believe the best in others and for others. Not everybody's out to hurt you. Not everybody's out to attack you, but believe the best in them. Jesus did that, and He got hurt many times because of that. But we still trust that God is in control. Third point, be compassionate, having concern and care for other people. These are action steps that we can take. Next time you're in a conversation, maybe today at lunch or on the ride home or when you get to wherever you're talking with somebody, think of these four things. Be curious. Ask what's going on in their life first. Believe the best in them. Be compassionate. Have a heart and a love for them. And then the fourth thing is then we begin to share our lives. It is important that you share your life and share what's going on. But to begin sharing our life is after we've listened, we've cared for them, we've believed the best in them, then we begin to share our lives. So what are we going to do? We're going to get to a group, whether it's this week, you're looking around, figuring out which group works for you, which one you want to go to. Next Sunday, signing up for a group. But why we do that is to get in alignment with what God is doing. If we want the blessing that comes from God, we have to be in unity with one another, which starts with us choosing to be humble. How many of you believe you could do these four things this week? Maybe you got to start by repenting and praying and asking forgiveness, and then we get to these, but that's all part of the process. This whole first month of 2023, putting first things first, let's be the first ones to be humble. Not to be the first to humble, because if you're the best to being humble, you got it backwards, but let's choose humility first. The first step in humility is to say, I have a need for a Savior. Jesus humbled Himself to help others. I need to be humbled to be more like Jesus. Verse 7 of Philippians 2, he says, instead, Jesus didn't think of himself. He was thinking of others. He said, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He emptied himself of those privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. You know, every time I read those verses, it grips me. Of realizing, wait, Jesus, he died in obedience to God. He died a criminal's death, which the Bible says that he died for us as sinners. He took our place, that we deserved that death. We deserved a criminal's death on the cross. Every single one of us, you and me included, have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve the penalty and the payment that he received on himself. And I'm reminded in John chapter 1, like, who is this Jesus? And why would he do such a thing? And he humbled himself in obedience to God. And it's not just a man, but he is God. John 1 says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Speaking about Jesus, Jesus is God. He was there at the beginning of creation. He's outside of time. It says he existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, that nothing was created except through Jesus. The Word, Jesus, he gives life to everything that was created. His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Would you please stand to your feet as we get ready to close? I have to offer you this moment right now of this Jesus that we speak of. Whatever picture or thoughts or ideas you had about him before, I hope you have a bigger and better picture of who he is. That he was there at the beginning of time. He was creating everything in us and through us. That he gives life. He gives light that shines in the darkness. Whatever darkness you're in right now, the light can extinguish it. If you say yes to him, you have to say yes to Jesus and you may stay in that darkness. It's a really simple thing that happens, but it's in the spiritual. It's not just on the outside, but it's what happens on the inside. If you say, yes, I need that light of Jesus. I need the life that comes from knowing him. I'm inviting you to make today the day you say yes to Jesus, that he becomes the forgiver of your past. That means he paid for your sin. He paid for your death that you deserve. Now he's going to become the leader into your future. He calls the shots. He is Lord. He is King. We serve him now. If today's the day you say, yes, I want that. I want Jesus to be the forgiver of my past and the leader to my future. Just slip up your hand and I want to pray for you. If you're here today, you say, yes, that's what I need. Slip up your hand and I want to pray for you right where you are. Well, church, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent your son to die for us. Jesus, that you left heaven. You gave up your privileges. You gave up your rights. You gave up the things that you had in heaven so you could come to rescue us. That you are the example of humility for each one of us. God, I pray for each and every person here that we would live our lives as an example of you. That we demonstrate the character and the nature of God, that your humility will be demonstrated through us, that other people would see in us Christ, that they'd see the humble servant that you are, that you came for us to have life and life abundantly. God, may we be first to put humility in our lives. May we put humility first in every day and every relationship so that we can receive the unity that you have for us and that you command a blessing. Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.